Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Write Stream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Write Stream and hashtag Write Stream. Thanks for listening to the Write Stream Radio Network.
Everyone, welcome to Just Believe Radio on the Write Stream Network. I am your host, Lisa Tarvis. I'm happy to be here and appreciate everyone who's listening in tonight. You know, we do a lot of shows that are psychic reading shows, and every once in a while I like to throw in something a little different, and that's what we're doing this evening. We're going to be talking with Admir Serrano, who is an author and an expert on out-of-body experiences and deathbed visions and after-death communication. And I find that fascinating, and I think you all will too. So I'm real excited about tonight's show. I always like the psychic reading shows, but it's really nice to kind of get in a little deeper and dig in a little deeper into spirituality. And that's what guests like Admir are going to be around for and on the show for. So I'm going to read his bio in just a minute. But again, I want to welcome everyone. The Write Stream Network is a network of shows we offer. We have four shows on now. Sundays, my show obviously kicks off the week at 7 p.m. with Just Believe, which is spirituality and metaphysics. And then on Mondays, we have Military Monday Monday with John D. Gresham, who hosts the Military Monday show. And then on Tuesdays, we have Write Stream Tuesday with Daria Ann, who interviews authors of all different genres, and she has some really fascinating guests on. She's also the founder of the network. And on Wednesdays, we have the Family Power Hour, which has our family psychologist, which is Dr. Billy Eisenberg, and her her friend and co-host, Sheena Benjamin Wise, who hosts a show about basically all family issues, legal, psychological issues regarding the family. And then I co-host with Daria Ann and sometimes my daughter Kristen, when I can pin her down for long enough. We host Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss, which is a women's talk show, a women's issues show on Fridays at 7 p.m. So this week we're actually going to be talking on Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss about weight loss and weight loss after 40 and how, you know, all the psychological and physical issues that women have, you know, during that time period of their lives. So anyway, it's going to be a great show on Friday, so I encourage everybody to listen into that. But that's basically our lineup for the Write Stream Network. You can find out more about our network at writestreamradio.com. You can find more about all of our hosts at the same web address. Again, writestreamradio.com, writestream, writestream, radio.com. And then you can find out more about me, what I do, and what I've got going on at lisatarvis.com. That's lisatarves.com. And on that site, you can find links to Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest and all the different social media sites that I'm on. And I post stuff all day long. I've got really great articles that I find and I tweet and I put on Facebook and really, really some really good stuff. So if you want to follow me, you can also follow hashtag Just Believe, which is, of course, the name of the show and the name of my book. So that is, I think, all the opening stuff I need to get to. So I wanted to, again, welcome everyone, and I want to bring on Admir. So what I'm going to do is read his bio for everyone so that everybody can kind of know what he does, what he's done, and we'll be able to also find out a lot about life after death, which I think is an incredibly important topic, and I'm just glad to have him on tonight. By the way, his website, if anybody wants to check him out while I'm reading this, is www.admirserrano.com. That's admirserrano.com. And if you're in the chat room or you want to get into the chat room, I'll type that on as soon as I bring him on. Admir Serrano, an unabashed believer in the immortality of the human spirit, is a longtime researcher, writer, and lecturer on paranormal phenomena such as out-of-body experiences, near-death experiences, deathbed visions, after-death communication, reincarnation, mediumship, and the afterlife. His interest in these topics began when he started having spontaneous OBEs, out-of-body experiences, and wanted to understand the phenomenon. He has worked as a hospice volunteer, providing spiritual support to terminally ill patients, at which time he could witness firsthand the deathbed vision phenomenon. Academically, he has studied business administration, liberal studies, psychology, and theology. He is the author of 3 books on related topics in his native Portuguese language. The End of Death is his first book in English. He lives in Miami, Florida, and is a frequent lecturer in English, Portuguese, and Spanish on topics of spirituality and the paranormal. So I want to welcome Admir. Admir, thank you so much for being on Just Believe tonight. I really appreciate your agreeing to be on the show, and I think you've got some really great stuff going on, so welcome.
Thank you, Lisa, and to the listeners, it's a pleasure to join you tonight, and very nice to be here, and I'm looking forward to our talk.
Good, good. Sorry about the dog barking in the background. Of course, the second I go live, somebody comes in the door and my dogs start barking, but, you know, that's just the way it goes. So anyway, I just wanted to, I don't even know where to start because I said this before we came on live, there's so many things to talk about with this. And what I like to do is I think to give people the comfort that comes with the knowledge of life continuing after our physical body dies, our souls continuing on. I think that's an important topic, whether you're terminally ill and facing it soon or whether you're young and it's just something you're like, oh, my gosh, you know, this is going to happen to me someday, to give people that comfort, which obviously you've done with your hospice work and things like that. But why don't we start at the beginning, which would be your beginning. What made you get interested in this? I guess it was the OBEs, right, the out-of-body experiences?
Yes, that was one thing that prompted me to look into it because I started having those experiences spontaneously, and I have had them since, and it's been about 15 years now. And then I found out that we all have those experiences, but not everybody is conscious of them. And so during those experiences, I was able to really understand and know that we're not only the physical body, that we do have a spiritual body, that this spiritual body will survive physical death, and that there is a non-physical world, or call it spiritual world, that is all around us, that we will live and then we will stay for a while, being our own identity, being conscious of who we are after the physical body dies. So those are things that really drew my attention, that was part of my experiences and that I cherish very much because I was fortunate enough to have direct knowledge of the survival of the human spirit.
What happens to you during an out-of-body experience? You say that we all do it, but we're not conscious of it. So you are conscious of it. What happens? What do you experience?
Well, for the first is you experience leaving your physical body. Not all the time, because sometimes something happens, especially during sleep, that all of a sudden when you wake up, but not physically, you wake up your consciousness wakes up, and then you realize that you are outside of your physical body. And there's like a training and exercise that you can do to ascertain that you are indeed out of your physical body. And then you're able to experience life free from the physical body and free from consciousness connected to the physical brain, but outside. So you can think clearly. All your senses are there intact, except that you are unable to interact with physical things, and that you also are able to leave the physical realm, and for a few minutes during the night, you're able to experience life in the non-physical world. And also, I have had opportunities where I could follow all the sensations of the disconnection of the spirit body from the physical body, and then moving out of the physical body, it's transferring consciousness to the spirit body, and then acting for a while, living for a while outside the physical body. So those are some experiences that I had and that I have.
So where are you? I mean, are you communicating with people during this?
Yes, there's an entire, there's a huge, the spiritual realm that is around us, inhabited by spiritual beings. And some of these spiritual beings that we are connected with are relatives who passed on, who are deceased physically, and also our spirit guides. And so while we are out of the physical body, mostly at night, we are interacting in this spiritual world with spiritual beings. And we're learning, we're working, we're doing things, even though many times, it's very often, of course, but we don't remember much when we wake up in physical life. But we are very active. So when we talk, and I'm glad that you mentioned in the beginning about giving comfort to people who are probably, who have a terminal disease, or someone who had someone who passed away recently, they're mourning that person, still grieving for that person, that there is this this afterlife indeed. And we are very familiar with this world. And we're going to realize that, which is ironically, when we are about to cross over to the other realm, as I also witnessed and had the occasion to contact people, talk to people who were terminally ill and in the process of crossing over. It's an amazing world out there that's, non-physical world, that we're going to be there. Everybody is somebody, some later and others sooner.
Right. I actually, it's funny because I think that so much of the time, there's so many things that go through my head with this whole thing, but I will wake up and my mom passed away unexpectedly after knee surgery 6 years ago. And I would have, and as a psychic and as somebody who has been able to communicate with the other side, I was never able to do that with her, and I never really understood why until I kind of got an angelic message basically saying that we were so close when she was alive that they didn't feel that I would actually be able to move on if I kept that connection with her, that I would not be able to move on with my life and learn to live without her if I had that same ability to continually connect with her. So one of the interesting things that have happened to me since that is I've noticed that I will wake up in the morning and I will feel like like she's sitting with me. I will feel like we just got done shopping or having some kind of talk or having lunch or something like that. I feel so close to her, like she's right here. But I don't remember dreaming about her. I don't remember anything. And I've always said I truly believe that somewhere we meet, whether it's me crossing over there or her crossing over here, during probably the delta level of sleep, where we know very little really about the delta, what goes on at that, when our brain's at that that level of brain activity, I think that maybe that's when I have that kind of communication, but I'm not able to remember it. Have you heard of other things like that? That is that the people that aren't conscious of it happening?
Yes, definitely, and you're right, because it's a new our brain is an incredible instrument, but it is also limited. So what happens when we leave the physical body during an out-of-body experience or when we are healthy or a near-death experience is something that is happening in a much deeper level of reality, a much deeper level of consciousness. And even if we are there, we are very active in the other side. Not every time, it's not always that we bring those memories to our conscious memory. So what we bring most often, especially in the example that you're giving with your mother, are the feelings, are sensations that we maybe we were together. And for some reason also, and the spirits that we interact with when we're outside, they are also able to sort of block that memory for some reason from us when we wake up. And it is possible that especially when it's a very powerful experience that we have with a loved one, for instance, if we have that memory back when we come, then that might prevent us from doing our work here properly. And you mentioned it in the beginning when you're talking about that experience, that probably perhaps if you had the awareness that you had been with your mom, that you had been connected, that could maybe hinder your progress here. And they could also hinder hers on the other side.
So you're right.
There's a lot of things that happen to us that we may be conscious when they're happening, as we are in the Delta level, even as you mentioned. But when we come back here to the wake up in the morning, for instance, those memories, we have those memories. They are in our subconscious mind, but we don't remember when we wake up. But they're there. And if you do dream work, if you work with dreams, many times, you know, when you dream again, it might be like a sequence. And you say, I've been here. I've been with this person. I have done this. And we have indeed. But it's stored in some other part of our mental body. And it is triggered when we are in that circumstance again. Does that make sense to you?
It makes absolute sense to me because, you know, it's confirmation. The craziest thing is my communication has always been best with angels since I was a little kid. In fact, I don't remember not being able to communicate with them, and it used to be more intense. I used to actually be able to see them and everything, and that's kind of gone away a little bit. But when I have a message come in from an angel, you know, and they tell me, I was angry. I'm like, I refuse to work. I wouldn't do readings after my mom died, because I'm like, I can't talk to my own mom, but I'm allowed to talk to all of these people that I don't know, their loved ones. You know, so I was hurt. I was angry about it. And so I stopped doing readings for several months and, you know, stopped my business. I was done. You know, I was angry. Mm-hmm. And when I got that message, when I asked why can't I talk to my mom? And I got the message from an angel that basically was telling me, because of the fact that you would not be able to move forward, you would. There's something. So when you tell me that this is something that you know you've also had messages about and experiences with, it kind of just gives you that confirmation that all right, this kind of makes sense. Because my mom and I were very very close, and I remember like if I'd go shopping for a new sofa or something, I'd be like, I wonder what my mom would think about that new sofa. You know, would she like this sofa or would she like that sofa? You know, and I think that it was so attached like that I needed that breakaway, you know, to be able to move on and become who I'm supposed to become. So for me, that gives me tons of confirmation about my own experiences. And I want to invite all of anybody listening live, and a lot of our listeners I know do it in the archives, especially on lovely evenings on Sundays when it's nice outside. But if anybody has any experiences they want to share or any questions for Edmure, please feel free to call. You can call 347-945-7246. 347-945-7246, and press 1, and I'll see you in the queue, and I can get you on the air. We also have the chat room open, so if you don't want to be on the air and you have a question, just go into the chat room, and I will, I'll be able to read your question on air that way, too. I just think this is something that is really important, and I'm so glad that there are people out there like you that are writing about it. I know the book that you have written that is in English, and I guess the first one that you've written that was in English, because looking at your website, I have no idea what those other books are called because I cannot read the language. So I'm assuming this is the first one. But the book is called The End of Death, How Near-Death Experiences Prove the Afterlife. So tell us, if you can, talk about some of the near-death experiences that you've experienced. Okay, that's kind of a silly question, but a silly way of phrasing my question. But what have you been involved in? What have you witnessed with other people at the time of their death?
The near-death experience that I wrote in the book, by the way, the title of my books in Portuguese is, the first one is Death or Dying Isn't the End. The second book is At the Gates of Heaven, and that is about near-death experience as well in Portuguese. And the third one is, I'm translating the titles, and the third one is Your Luggage Ready? Your Travel Guide to Heaven.
Oh, I love
that one.
So they haven't been reprinted in English or anything?
No, they have not, because the publisher there was not interested. So maybe perhaps in the future we will translate
Yeah, that sounds like great stuff. I know I'd love to read it, but I'm not going to be able to do that in Portuguese, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I'm barely able to handle French language.
To your question, the book is The End of Death, How Near-Death Experience Proved the Afterlife. These are the phenomenon that happens when people, many people, have what is called a clinical death, either by an accident or drowning or a heart attack or something like that. When the heart stops, breathing stops, the brain stops functioning, and they lose consciousness. And obviously, in materialistic view, unconscious body, unconscious brain that is not working, it is not capable of producing any kind of activity, harboring any kind of consciousness. So that's their view. But in those cases, many people who sometimes they spent about 20 minutes, 30 minutes unconscious, some of them were declared dead and woke up in the morgue getting ready to be buried or being taken to the funeral home. Yeah. They then wake up and they start telling about the incredible experiences that they had during that period of unconsciousness, starting about hearing what happened, seeing what happened, feeling themselves leaving the physical body, floating up, and then go through a tunnel or they see a light, follow the light, and end up in a spiritual realm, and they see and communicate with deceased relatives, sometimes other spiritual beings who they don't know, but they believe that they're mentors or protectors or guardian angels, etc. So those are the experiences that I've talked about in my book. And those experiences are the studies that I did are from the literature, which is vast. There's a lot. and also my conversation, my talks with people, relatives, and also other people that I came to know who had had a near an accident or something and had a near-death experience. That's basically the experiences that I deal with in the book, The End of Death.
So you basically just researched and were able to talk to people that that had near-death experiences and were able to write their stories. I always wonder the light that people see. What do you think that is? What do you think that light is? Because that's consistent.
Yes.
I mean, I've every near-death experience I've heard of, I don't know that I've ever heard of one that seemed legitimate that didn't have this white light, this light that they had to follow. It was like they had, you know, it was just, there was something about it that they had to go and walk towards it, or, you know, move towards it.
Yeah. I mentioned that in my book. And like you said, that the light is very common. It's one feature that is very prominent in many, almost all experience, except some that that I know, including a person who I knew, that the person felt himself out of the body and then, or leaving the body, and then he was already out of the body, conscious that he was out of the body without going through or seeing the light or following the light. But most of them do follow this light. And what's interesting is that before the light, there is darkness. And then there is this pinpoint of light in the darkness. And as they focus on that light, the light expands. And sometimes it opens up into a tunnel that they enter, and then they follow, traveling at sometimes at a very great distance, very great speed, and ending up in a non-physical realm. So one thing that is very interesting is that when they see the light, follow the light, or either just following the light without the tunnel, or their light in becoming a tunnel, at the end of the journey, it's always a spiritual realm, always a spiritual realm, always inhabited by diseased relatives. You never hear a story that they follow the tunnel and they end up like in Hackensack, New Jersey, for instance, or some other, like our sunny South Beach, if they were good.
Yeah, exactly.
It's always a physical and non-physical realm. So to me, the light is some kind of portal. It's something. It's a transition. It's a portal. It's an opening to the non-physical dimension. To me, it's been, after many years of research many accounts, and I have had the opportunity of crossing a tunnel during my out-of-body experiences, and also following light, following also this light a couple of times. So to me, it is clear there is some kind of portal, some kind of opening to the non-physical, or call it spiritual dimension. To me, it's very clear that that's what the light is.
So my next question is, I'm just going to ask stuff that I think people, I have my own opinions on, but I think people like to know, what the heck are they doing? What are we doing over there? When we get over there, what do we do?
Oh, we do a lot. We do a lot. We do more than him. I have shown. I have been shown places. I have worked. We do a lot of work. In fact, we live in two worlds already. So the afterlife, when we say the afterlife, we are already living the afterlife, because what we call the afterlife is the other side of reality that we experience non-physically. And we experience it non-physically in our non-physical body or non-physical consciousness, if some people may call. So we are already there. We are already acting. Like when you do your readings and you're talking to these people, they're not idle, the spirits. They're not idle out there. Some are, just like some are idle here. So,
right.
But mostly we're studying. We are learning, we are progressing. We are in a journey of evolution, and this evolution, this learning experience, takes place when we are in physical life. It takes place here, and also at the same time in the non-physical world when we leave the physical body, mainly at night. So there's studies. We do healing. We are healed. There's a lot of things that goes on, and I have been able to witness and also to participate in these activities. So we already know. And when we work with the dying, and especially when at those final moments of their lives, that they, even if they were scared to death, they are not scared. Many of them are not scared when they are transitioning because they already see. So their psychic abilities increase, and they can already see the other side of life. And many times they're familiar with people and also with the place itself. And so the same thing will happen to us when we cross over forever, for not forever, because we're going to reincarnate again, most probably. But when we're for good, that we're not returning to the physical body, we're going to see things and places that are already familiar with us, to us. So it's we already living the afterlife. And we are eternal beings now. We don't have to die to become eternal. We are eternal now, living the physical life when we're awake. And then when we sleep, we get out of the body. We already live the non-physical life. We are very familiar with the other side already.
So do you think it's just I don't know how to describe it, but do you think that we're, you know, because you hear so many different stories about people and what they believe goes on the other side. And some people that come back, actually, you know, that have a near-death experience, will have talked about having communications with God or with Jesus or with, you know, someone where there's maybe a telepathy kind of conversation going on where they're asking questions and getting answers, and then they come back. That would be a short period of time, I would guess. But physically, even though we're not physical over on the other side, is it just learning lessons and things like that, or is there fun? Because I've always experienced, like, I hear, like, when I'm trying to fall asleep at night, I'll get, you know, I get more psychic. Everybody does. It's not just me, but everybody does. I think when you get to when you start drifting into the theta realm of brain activity, I think you connect a little bit more. And I hear music, and I hear laughter, and I hear like it's almost like a party going on over there all the time. You know,
that's right. There is party. There's festivals. There's a lot of things going on. You know, you can hear music. You can dance. You can fly. You can fly, you can, you know, you travel, you go to places. It's filled with activity for those who want to be active. And like when you say that, it's very interesting what you said about when you're drifting, that we become psychic. The thing is that when we're sleeping, we're not becoming psychic. We are moving on to the other side. We are leaving the physical body, and we are entering that dimension. So when we hear music and laughter, we are hearing music and laughter that is already happening there. That, you know, soon after we then leave the physical body, after the body sleeps, at those moments, we're going to participate in, and probably we're going to be attending concerts. I have had many, many, many experiences. There's this place that I go very often. It is a theater, and that is in a place that I know that because I have asked questions, and it's a realm. It's like it's a town, not different from a physical town, and that is the place that I will stay when I leave the physical earth for good. And I do go there during the night many times, and then there is this theater, and I always go to this theater, and it's not that big, but it's very nice and clean, and there is a stage. Like there's the chairs and stuff, very comfortable chairs, just like a movie theater. Mm-hmm. And then there is a stage down there. And there's a lot of things going on in those stages. There's music. I saw one day I was looking and listening, and at the same time knowing that my body was sleeping here because something that's very familiar because they happened, you know, many, many, many times. And it was this girl. She was like 7 years old. It looked like an angel and singing to us, and we were listening to her. It was marvelous. The melody, it was marvelous. And there's plays, like theatrical plays, or, you know, people talking, telling jokes. So there's a lot, you know, it's not this morbid thing, you know, that we think it is. No,
yeah, it's not totally serious, and you're not, you know, carting around the Bible all day or, whatever. I mean, you're actually just, I mean, that's, I think, a big misconception is, you know, people think of the other side, heaven, whatever you want to call it, as everything all of a sudden, you know, it's very serious, it's very deep. And I think what I've noticed and what I've heard from the other side is basically, you know, they have fun. They create their own reality. If they miss the taste of chocolate, they think, hey, I want to taste chocolate, and boom, they can taste chocolate. If they miss their childhood home, they can be in their childhood home. You know, I'm sure it's a recreation of or whatever, but, you know, I mean, I've heard some really amazing, amazing stories like that from people who have passed on. What I want to ask you now is, when you're looking at all of these different experiences and the parts, you know, the pieces you've been already involved in, the things that you have witnessed in your own mind, how is the interaction with their, I think what we want to know when we've lost someone is our loved ones are still watching us. Our loved ones are still connected to us, even though they've crossed over. What has your experience been with that? Are they watching us? Are they guiding us? Are they, you know, laughing at us when we, you know, when we trip over, you know, our shoelace or something? You know, I mean, how involved are they in our lives?
Yeah. When they're ready to interact with us, then they do. Some, they need a period of adjustment, especially when the death is something that they had a lot of suffering. For instance, I have one of my experiences is also to visit and talk to and interact with the recently dead. And many times, many of them don't know what's going on. So one of my work is to enlighten them, to tell them or show them somehow that they are no longer in physical life. I have been including a very dear cousin of mine who suffered from lung cancer for about 5 years, and he was hospitalized and a lot of suffering, and finally he passed away. He was very young, and so when I visited him, and someone took me to see him, he was in a room and in a bed that resembled a hospital bed, and he was there sleeping, and he was resting. So he was going to stay there. It was like in a very, like, re-energizing spirit, sleep. And when he woke up, and spirits have a way to induce sleep in other spirits, so when he was ready to wake up and learn and see what was going on, and I had the opportunity to be with him later on, also, so when he was ready, then he went on to his life. So when the loved ones, our loved ones, we are a huge spiritual family, and they watch over us because, you know, like your mom. If your mom was a caring mother, a loving mother here, she's not gonna and she's not gonna lose that connection with you just because she moved on to the other side for a longer time. She is still going to be with you, being your guide, because that's what it is. And when you read about angel intervention in many circumstances, and when you see children especially who they say, you know, I saw an angel, this angel helped me, and when they look at a family album, for instance, in many occasions they recognize that person who they call an angel. and that was either a grandma or an uncle or some loved one who had passed away. So they were still very connected because we are this family, the huge family, and we're going to keep loving our people who we love here. It won't change.
Right. Right, and I totally believe that, and I, you know, I'm the experiences I've had, you know, with others is, you know, with others that I've talked to is exactly, you know, what the cool thing is, I think, about people that have a gift that they've embraced and are able to work with, you know, in physical form. So many of our experiences are so very, very alike. You know what I mean? There's no, I mean, every once in a while you get somebody who's completely off the charts in another direction. But I would say 99% of the people that I talk to and that I deal with that do this type of work all have very similar experiences.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
so there may be some kind of truth there, right?
Exactly, and that's what I keep saying is if we're all talking our truth, if we're all saying what we experience, if we're all saying what we know, and that's my whole thing is like this is a knowing for me. This is not guesswork. This is not some kind of mental illness, although I've been accused of it. But it's what I remember. It's what I know. It's my truth. It's what I remember.
Uh-huh.
I can tell you, and this is, I guess I'm trying to form this into a question for you. I feel homesick a lot. Even when I'm in my house with my family, I still can all of a sudden have an extreme feeling of homesickness. And I always say, it'll be right around the time, either before or after, I have a dream that I remember pieces of, and I know I was on the other side again. And do you think that other? I mean, have you heard of that before? Have you heard of other people feeling like they're here in this physical form, but they're not home? This isn't, you know what I mean? I've been on this earth almost 48 years, and I still feel like I'm not where I'm supposed to be.
Well, yeah, me.
Okay, good.
It's me. But this is the thing. What we do is we rejoice in the moments that we have at night. So that happened. That helped me quench a little bit of this homesickness by being there and by being conscious during out-of-body experiences. But even though we are homesick, even though we would prefer to be longer on the other side, we still have to go through this phase because we have this learning that we have to fulfill on physical life. And I truly believe in reincarnation, and I truly believe that we choose the lessons that we need to learn, and then we return for a time, and we spend it here. So we need to finish that. We need to do that. Even if we would rather be longer on the other side, we got to finish this one, and then we'll go to the other side, and we'll stay there longer than just a few hours a night. So we, both of us, were not the only ones who feel this desire or this homesickness, because that is the spirit realm, the non-physical realm, is our true home. We are passengers here in physical form. This is something that is temporary. We have lived more, we have lived longer as a spirit, as disembodied spirit in the non-physical world than we have lived the physical life, and that is one of the reasons that we feel homesick. And that's a good thing, because we were well adjusted on the other side.
Right. And this isn't an easy, you know, I'm not a person who believes in hell personally. I don't think that there is a hell. That's my opinion. I kind of feel like this is probably, being here in this form is probably as close as to hell a human gets. It's really hard to live in a physical form when you are used to, or when you are most comfortable in
at home in the spiritual realm. And
that's right. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So, you know, one of the things I wanted to ask you, and seriously, I could go on all day. And again, everyone, I invite you to call in if you have any questions, because these are all just my personal questions I'm asking here. So anybody that has anything else, you feel free to call in and, you know, or get into the chat room. But I just want, you know, I just wonder, like, I had an experience where there was a period of my life, maybe 10 years ago, I don't know, 8, 10 years ago, where I had this incredible feeling of loss of a child. It was a little girl, and she was very young, and maybe three or four when she died, and it felt like it was my child. Do you think that something that the time, it's gone now. I don't have that. I mean, I remember it because it was traumatic, but it didn't happen to me in this lifetime. Do you think the age I was possibly or could be linked to why that feeling came back to me? Maybe something like that did happen at that point I was, you know, in that age I was in a past life?
It is possible, because we have archived in our subconscious our entire history, and we have lived for millennia. We have lived for many reincarnations. We have been male. We have been female. We have been mothers, fathers. We
right.
have so all those things are stored in our mental body. But obviously, we don't remember. We can't remember, although there are many children who remember past lives spontaneously.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. So we have had all those strong feelings, connection. We have lost children. We have lost parents. And we are familiar with all those feelings and emotions through the many lives that we have lived. And that's how we learn. So it is possible that that time in your life, somehow, for some reason, that memory triggered. We don't know for sure. Possibly the approximation of, I don't know, that spirit that you're feeling that was reincarnating. I don't know if you noticed then someone close to you who might have a child. Who might have had a baby then. So it is possible, because we have all these experiences that we went through recorded in the mental body. And it is possible that once in a while such experience will, you know, come to our conscious mind if it's not very clear, very explicit, like in, at least in feelings and intuitions and things like that. So it is possible, of course.
I can actually remember the year now, because it was the year my husband and I built our house that we live in now. And so that would have been 2007. So it would have actually been 7 years ago. And the weird thing about it was I was devastated. I mean, I actually don't share a lot of my spiritual stuff with my husband, because he's an airline pilot. He's very, very scientific. And not that he doesn't believe in all this, because he truly does. It's just not something he gets, like, deeply, you know? So I don't really talk about it. Mm-hmm. But this was something that was so devastating to me. Like, I felt like I just lost a child. I felt like one of my children. And it was once in a while. And again, it was right when I was drifting off to sleep. That's when it was the worst, you know? And I always say that I think that we really, you know, the veil thins. And I agree that we, you know, like what you were saying, is that it's not that we become more psychic. I think that it's just that our guard lets down. We stop trying to fight.
We are crossing over.
Right.
We're crossing over.
Yeah.
We're crossing over.
So
that's
like,
what happens.
And we're not fighting it. We're not fighting it like we might be during the day, or, you know, or we have so much going on in our lives that, you know, I think that sleep and dreams are so, I think we need to pay a lot more attention to sleep patterns and to dreams, because I really have always felt that when we are, you know, the place that one level, they say there's very little research that they can tell what's going on with us while we're in the delta level of sleep. I'm like, hello, that's because we're on the other side. We're not, you know, you're not getting anything because you're not able to register anything about what's going on with our bodies because we're not really in our bodies anymore.
That's
right.
That's correct. And I even wrote, if you see on my website, I wrote a booklet after my publisher that suggested that I write that book, and I wrote it. It's a short book. It's called Out and About, How to Have Conscious Out-of-Body Experience. So,
yeah,
and in this booklet, which is also available on Amazon.
In English,
Out and About in English. So that one, I tell a little bit more about my experiences, and I also give exercises and suggestions to become lucid during our sleep state to acquire or to reach the point of lucid dreaming, and from lucid dreaming and then to project out of the physical body. And also I go also in detail into the sleep cycle and the patterns of sleep and the stages of sleep and how to use specific stages in order to become more lucid, in order to project out of the physical body and be conscious as we leave the physical body. So that is a booklet that could help also people interested in experience of being conscious while they are the body is sleeping.
So
because
if you're conscious,
out of the body we all get.
So do you bring back then when you wake up, do you remember that then? If you're conscious during it, are you bringing that back with you?
When you're very, very conscious or lucid during certain experience, you bring back. But normally there's a lot of activities at night, and we can't bring everything into our conscious memory. We bring like snapshots, usually like the most profound experiences sometimes. Or you don't bring anything, or you remember. For instance, we go through the REM state like about five times during the night, the rapid eye movement stage that our brains are very, that the images are very pronounced. So we could remember that at the end of each sleep cycle. So, and we could also memorize or think about some of those dreams that we had. Then when we go to another sleep cycle, we're going to have another round of dreams, another round of experiences that most likely will make us forget the first one, even
right.
if it was bright. So by the end of the night, when we woke up, that we went through four or five sleep cycles, like going in and out of the physical body, because that's what happens. We forgot most everything. We forgot most everything. I work with my dreams, and I try to remember, and I remember, I know the story. So what I do, and that's one exercise, and sometimes when I'm not lazy, I wake up, get a piece of paper, get my notepad, and I write the dream or the most, and then I try to remember.
Yeah, and that's important because, you know, you said that people say that all the time, and I do it. Keep a tablet and a pen, you know, keep paper and pen right next to you, on your nightstand, right next to you, because, you know, and it is hard because I don't write half of it down because I'm just too, like you said, I'm too lazy. I'm like, forget it. I'm
too lazy.
I don't want to wake up that much yet, you know. Within an hour, I've forgotten it. You know, if I don't, I've actually forgotten.
That's right, And then you say what happened to me, and some of the experiences, you're acting, you're living in the non-physical world. You are interacting many times with loved ones who are deceased, with their guardians who were there. We were the way that we're going to be when we die. So we will experience what is called death, and we experience that every night. That's why I say to people who are afraid of death, don't be. We are familiar with it. We are familiar with the whole process. We are familiar with the other side. We know more than we know. So it's no mystery.
You know, in my book, I wrote about how what a strange that I'm a little strange because I have absolutely zero fear of death. Never have. I'm not afraid of it. I'm not afraid, but I'm also not afraid of public speaking, which is a little weird because most people are afraid of that too. There are just these things that are just like the top two fears in the world. Number one being public speaking. Number two being death, which another bizarre phenomenon to me. But when we look at this, when we look at the fear, what do you think the fear that people have of dying? It comes from, are they afraid of the pain? Are they afraid of nothing existing? What are they afraid of? Because I don't have that fear, and I wonder, what do you hear most often people are afraid of? When they know they're passing, what are they afraid of?
Yeah, I think it mostly is of the unknown. But it's interesting working with dying people, especially people who have been bedridden for a while, and then they may be afraid when they hear that they have a terminal disease, but then as time progresses, as they go through the different stages, when death approaches, even if they're sometimes because the suffering is too much. Or sometimes they are, even if they don't have physical pain, but as the body wears down and loses energy, and they become also more psychic. And that's one of the reasons that they can see diseased relatives. So towards the end, towards the transition, most of people who are conscious, they don't have, they don't fear death. And many times, they welcome, and especially, and that happens to a great number, probably 80% of people who are conscious, that before crossing over, sometimes a week or 2 weeks or most of the time in the same day, they see spirits there, and the diseased, mostly relatives, if it's a child, probably a grandma or grandpa who passed away, or a loved uncle who passed away, all there to welcome. And spouses, especially those who have been together long and one of them passed away first, is there to welcome them. And when you talk to them, and they say, so-and-so is here, and you ask, why is he or she doing here? He says, he's helping me or she's helping me to get out of my body, to cross over. And she or help me to move on to the other side and all things like that. That is very common. That's most of the, so towards the end, the fear tends to vanish. And then many times they are very pleasant, pleased, very happy of ending the physical journey and starting the new one.
So you think it's really basically the unknown that's doing people in? I mean, that's really making them so afraid.
Yeah.
They don't know what's going to happen, and then the closer they get to the crossing, the closer they get to crossing over, the more unafraid they are because they're able to connect with their deceased loved ones and things.
Yeah, they're right there, like surrounding them, and many times they also have visions of the place where they're going. And they talk about that place being a very pleasant, beautiful place, and they want to go there. They don't want to stay here anymore.
Right.
Let's go.
Yeah, I know. I remember sitting in the hospital when my mom was dying and feeling my grandfather who had passed years before her come in, and I felt felt her angels come in. I felt her brother come in who had passed when she was in her 20s. I could feel these different people coming in, and I'm still hoping that they're going to be able to fix her and that she's not going to die, but I was starting to get it because I'm like, why are they coming in if they're not preparing her to cross over,
Right, that was the crossing over. That was the welcome committee. And we're going to have a welcome committee, too, on the other side, That's how they're fixing. The body finished its work. The body is losing energy, that one happens to us, finished our earthly work. Then now we move on. It's an out-of-body experience, but it's a one-way one that you don't return to that same physical body, but we'll return to another one in another incarnation. So
Talk to me about the difference. What happens in a suicide situation? Because for me, I've never felt like there's any anger or any kind of, you know, judgment when you cross over with suicide victims. I feel like it's something that I've always felt like it's something that we obviously it's not what we're supposed to do, but sometimes we maybe so off track, so off our path that we that we don't know what else to do, and so suicide becomes in our someplace and within us the only answer. What experience been with that?
Well, we have there are many examples also of suicide people who had near-death experience due to a suicide attempt. And it's not a pleasant experience, but like you said, there are people who commit suicide because they're desperate, they don't know what to do. And so each case is a different case, and it is treated differently. And we're not going to be judged by anybody. There will be no judging or judges or the other side other than our own consciousness. So what makes us suffer on the other side from the things that we do wrong, it's our consciousness. It's our regrets of having acted in a certain way that was not too very proper, rather than the other way. So it's us judging us. When you see like the beams of light that near-death experiences say that were with them during the life review where they saw what they had been done wrong and things like that, always they're there, and then they have a feeling, some of them, that is even Jesus, but they don't see the spiritual being as one who's passing judgment, but it's a being who's very understanding and is there to guide. You know, rather than you should have known, you did this and should have known.
Right.
Say what
right.
I say. If you had done this differently, you'd have profited more. So, but you learn. It's a lesson. So it's something that we are the judge. There's no one there to judge us and punish us or anything. We punish our own mistakes, punish ourselves.
Yeah, and that's exactly the kind of information that, you know, I've gotten from, you know, doing readings with people who have had a loved one commit suicide. And they always come through to me as feeling bad. They don't come through with the same type of energy as someone who crossed over by another means. But they do come through almost like, because I'm talking to their loved one, you know, almost feeling guilty, you know, that they did it, because they did it in a period of time when things were horrible in their life, but what they did was leave wreckage behind, you know, people deal with the loss. And so they come through, and I don't want to say it's ashamed or anything. It's not that. It's just apologetic, I guess, you know, like I just couldn't do it anymore. And my whatever that caused me to do it, whether it was mental illness or just being overwhelmed or whatever, took over. And I didn't have my faculties enough to be able to say, all right, I'm not going to do this to my wife or my husband or my children or my parents or whoever. And, you know, that's kind of always what I picked up from people, you know, with suicide. And again, it was a total judgment. If anybody was judging, they were judging themselves. I mean, it wasn't.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's really interesting. And I love this conversation. Is there anything that I didn't hit on that you want to talk about?
No, I think we covered probably the main points. There's a lot, like you mentioned, we could stay here for hours talking about
exactly.
this subject. But you know, I think we're reaching the end, right?
We're pretty close to the end of the hour, and you know, and I that's why I want to make sure everybody, again, I want to give everybody your website, which is Admir Serrano. It's A D M I R
serrano.com. And your book, you have two books really available right now. One, you said, is a smaller book, but the two in English. I'm just going to say that. There are others available in Portuguese as well. But I'm just going to talk about the ones in English because I can't talk about the other ones because I have no idea what they say. But Out and About, which is, I guess, your newest book, right? And it's, you said it's a small book. It's a smaller one, but Out and About, How to Have Conscious Out-of-Body Experiences. So you have a lot of tips on, you know, how to get yourself to remember some of these experiences that you're having in a dream state, but you don't maybe remember. So it's kind of like, a tips kind of thing, you know, tips and tricks to make yourself be able to, you know, experience that. And then your main book, which is The End of Death, How Near-Death Experiences Prove the Afterlife. And both available on Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, and all the sites where books are available, downloadable, I'm sure, on the Kindle and the Nook and all of that as well. And I really encourage everybody to visit your website because it actually – there's when you get there, there's a little video that I want to play so bad, but if I do, it's going to totally screw up our audio. So as soon as we disconnect from the show – I'm going to play this because it's neglected questions in near-death research, and I think that's going to be a really – I didn't do it before, but it looks really interesting. So I definitely want to watch that. So, all right. Well, I think it's fascinating. I really appreciate your being on the show, and I really encourage everybody to check out your books and check out your website, and you have a blog through your website. You have a list of all your events that are coming up and lectures that are coming up and things like that for you, a calendar basically of anything that you've got going on. I'm sure it's if you're anything like me, it's probably not very updated, but I'm not real good at keeping mine updated.
That's right.
Yeah, but there's a lot of really great information on the site, yeah, podcasts, and a place that you can share your own experiences if you've had any, you know. So that's it's a really good site. So I encourage everybody to go to admirserrano.com, and thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it. It was a great conversation, and I'd love to have you on again sometime soon.
Great. Thank you, Lisa, and thank you to the listeners. And you know where to find me.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks, Admir. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, right. Lisa. You have a great night.
You very too. Nice. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
So, everyone, that was Admir Serrano having a great conversation about life after death. I think just one of the most fascinating topics out there in so many different ways, not only for ourselves, but ourselves thinking about our own passing someday, but for all of us who have lost at least one person for the most part that we loved and wondered where they are, if they're watching over us. Well, we just now know all the answers to that. So I'm really glad we did that show. Next week we do a psychic reading. So we're going to have Beth Henry back, actually. She did some readings for us before and was very popular. So she's coming back next week. And so everybody, my little tip for people that put up with my other shows and, you know, I tell you at the end of the shows that are not the psychic reading shows, if you start calling in at about 6:45, you'll get on the air for sure because those I start at 6:45, I start taking calls and start putting you in the queue. So, and the show doesn't start till 7. So anybody that calls in 15 minutes early or 10 minutes early or 5 minutes early, you're going to have a better shot of actually getting on because we do have a ton of people that that are looking for a reading. So please take that tip. And thank you all for listening so much. It was really a great, great show. Remember to check out my wonderful website called lisatarvis.com. Well, that's not what it's called, but the website is www.lisatarvis.com. Follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Facebook. I got some great, great stuff. You can look me up on Twitter at Lisa Tarvis. You can look me up on Facebook under Metaphysical Healing by Lisa Tarvis or just use Lisa Tarvis. I have Metaphysical Healing and I have Just Believe for my book. buy my book, everyone. Come on, I gotta buy some new shoes soon. So buy my book called Just Believe, and it talks about my I talk about my life, my experiences, my my beliefs, my abilities from a young child, and how that made me become who I am today. And you can also check out all the services that I offer on the website. So visit there and find me definitely on Twitter and Facebook as well. I look forward to the show next week. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to check out the RightStream Radio's network. We are at rightstreamradio.com. Check out our webpage. Follow us on Twitter at RightStream hashtag. I love hashtag. Every time I do hashtag, I do the finger thing. Do you know the finger thing I'm saying? Yeah, you can't see me. I know. Anyway, but I do that whole finger thing. Hashtag. Hashtag Just Believe for me and hashtag RightStream for the network. So anyway, I really enjoyed the show tonight. I really appreciate everybody listening and tuning in, and I can't wait to talk to you all next Sunday night and 7 o'clock. That will be where we'll be on, and we'll be welcoming back Beth Henry for some psychic readings. So, again, thanks, everyone. Have a fantastic night and a really good week. Bye.